Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now offering a Bet the Underdog special where bettors will receive a $25 free bet for every $50 winning wager on dogs greater than plus 300. That's $25 bet on top of your winnings. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP in your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And finally, we're brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing daily fantasy sports app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $25,000 with just one entry. Head on over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And, of course, while we're mentioning apps, don't forget to download the SGPN app. It's your chance to win $3,000 in the D-Gen Dance, which you can only do on the SGPN app.
Hi-de-ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 125, a monumental episode. So take that to all the haters who said we wouldn't make it past 124 episodes. Here we are, 125. That's depending on when you listen to this, it may be Thursday already. And if it is, I'm going to dedicate this to all the Irish people out there, or everybody has a little bit of Irish in them this time of year. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you all. And thank you for coming to the podcast. I will be your host. I'm known as the Black Country Banger, Jeff Fox, and I will be guiding you through this week's fight card that we're going to break down. We're going to get right down to business. This fight card, actually, everything came through for us. Nothing really fell off last minute. So the MMA gods aligned and made sure we got a full card. So let's get right down to it because I am still on vacation. And I don't want to have to work too long for you lovely people. I do love working for you, but the quicker the better. Let's just get down to making some money. In that quest, we will bring in my associate host, my co-host, the Mowgli of the podcast, the feral child, Mr. Gumby Vreeland himself. Hello, Daniel Gumby Vreeland.
Do you mean the Mowgli as Baloo's friend or as the fighter out of Mexico?
I'm saying Baloo's friend, but because it's not really like – he spells it Moogly, though. That's the thing.
Is it Moogly?
Right. He spells it M-O-O-G-L-Y, so I don't know if they're really going with the Jungle Book thing or not. Have him on the Top Turtle podcast and ask him, Dan.
Is he – I don't mean to sound crass.
Does he speak English? I don't
know. Yeah, is he in English? Because I actually recently did an interview with somebody who does not speak English, which was a rarity for me, and had to use it with an interpreter, which is an all-time first. One of our all-time favorites who's fighting in a week.
Let me check. Let me look at the card.
Oh, it's going to be too easy if you look at the card.
Blaydes versus Daukus. You are talking about Manon Fiorot.
Manon Fiorot, yes, very good.
She doesn't speak English, huh?
She only speaks French. She might speak like a little English, but was not willing to do an interview in English.
And you don't speak a lick of French. So.
I did say bonjour when we first started talking.
You said it wrong, but okay.
And at the end I said merci. I was going to say merci beaucoup, but I did definitely forget what the second part of that was.
Yep.
And wound up saying merci, pausing for a really long time, and then saying Manon.
Did she say je ne comprends pas, Dan?
She talked so fast that I tried to pull, especially because Spanish and French are not really close like Spanish and Portuguese are, but they're like, they're both Romance languages. So sometimes I can pull out a word or two. But the speed of which she was talking, I was just, I'm pretty sure, just smiling and looking really dumb and waiting for her interpreter to translate it for me.
Yes. Yeah. It's always the speed with these languages that, that throws off someone who's trying to catch on to it. I'm very good at reading. I can read a bunch of languages. Well, not a bunch of languages, but languages. But yeah, when someone talks to me, then I get lost. So did you tell her that she has she's like one of the patron saints of our podcast?
I did not mention that she's a patron saint of our podcast, but I did tell her interpreter, because her interpreter came on first, that I was a big fan and that it was an honor, which I don't usually say to fighters. But I was like,
no,
I really – and she said some stuff about Valentina Shevchenko. So keep an eye peeled on my Twitter because that interview will probably come out at some point in time soon, hopefully.
Yeah, that's usually the plan when you do an interview. Sometimes I've had to scrap interviews before, but sometimes usually they come through. Usually you don't tell the fighters, because usually you pick against the fighters that you have on your podcast. Normally you don't tell them I'm a big fan of you. So
I don't pick against Manuel Fierro.
No. Who's on the podcast this week? We're speaking of the Top Turtle MMA podcast, Dan's other podcast. Who's on it this week to pick against?
I actually don't have anybody from this weekend's card on. I doubled down on people on UFC Columbus, which is next weekend's card. So this week I have Brian Barberena and Bruno Souza on. And then I'm going to have more from UFC Columbus next week, I believe, as well. So it's going to be like UFC Columbus overload until we get to the big pay-per-view that comes after that, UFC 273.
Yes, sir. So this concludes the plugging
advertisement.
And I'll plug my stuff. Go to my Substack, Money MMA at Substack. Go in there, subscribe. Get a paid subscription. That would help me out even greater, and then that would motivate me to write even more for you people. I'm building it up with all the UFC fighter salary info that everyone seems to love and expect from me. So I'm building it up as we speak. More subscribers, the better, because the harder I will work at it. So get in there, even if it's a free subscription. That's quite all right. And then hopefully I'll hook you. All right. Surprising. This news. Our Dan's favorite fighter, favorite Dallas Cowboy, got cut. Finally, Greg Hardy. I guess we already pretty much talked about this before it happened. What we expected to happen, and it did.
Yeah, I would.
We hoped it would happen.
Yeah, I think the writing was on the wall. He had like some sort of cryptic post or something like that that made it sound like he was definitely not coming back. But I would also say, did you see the other name of somebody who is disappearing from the UFC's roster?
Sabina Mazo,
yeah.
Which, she got beat.
That surprised me a little bit because, she doesn't have the best record recently. That's certainly true. If you look back at her most recent fights, you know, she's coming off of quite an ugly run, so to speak. Three losses in a row, Alexis Davis, Maria Agapova, and, of course, the most recent one to Miranda Maverick. But she is, like, 3-4 in the UFC, which isn't bad, and I would say she's exciting, right? Like, she's not a boring fighter. Her fight
she's
with
young still.
And she's not. Young. Yeah, she's young still. She's only 24. She had all those fun head kick knockouts on the regional scene that everybody was jacked up about. But, I was kind of surprised to see her cut.
Yeah, maybe she can go to Invicta and build herself back up and get back in the UFC. Who's to say? And also the other surprise was this fight card stayed intact, right? We didn't lose anything.
it did, in fact, stay intact. Although, I mean, I guess if you go back,
it did
lose a whole bunch, right? Because we were supposed to see the debut of Jake Hadley, which I was very excited for. We were supposed to have seen Nathaniel Wood was supposed to fit Ludovic Shaolinian, which I don't think is actually a better fight than Nathaniel Wood versus Vince Morales, but Shaolinian obviously being Ukrainian, that threw a wrench into things. Mike Davis was supposed to fight Jai Herbert, which I actually think is a little bit better of a fight than the one Jai Herbert's now got in front of him. Gunnar Nelson's opponent backed out. So, we've seen bits and pieces fall apart, but they were all, like, weeks ago. Like, this is the same card as of most recent couple weeks.
Yeah, which was a surprise. Should the aforementioned Topuria, should he not just switch with Kazula Vargas now and fight Patty Pimblett after the hand sanitizer incident that they had recently?
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. When I saw that Jai Herbert's opponent, Mike Davis, fell off the card, Jai Herbert is about the level of opponent that I thought Patty Pimblett should have gotten in his second fight. You know, if you want to hype him up and you want to build him properly, like, Jai Herbert's a guy who goes in there and bangs. It's a good stylistic matchup for Patty Pimblett. It's a guy who Patty, in theory, could probably be. It would be a really competitive fight. And it's, like, the right step forward. Instead, they gave him somebody who's arguably maybe worse than his original opponent, a better spot on the card. Clearly are trying to, like, juice him a couple of wins so that he, you know, can be a megastar for him. But, like, I wouldn't put him with Ilia Topuria. I'm going to be really honest with you. Topuria would kill him. Like, I know maybe that's a hot take for the people out there who don't know well enough about Ilia Topuria or are buying all of this Patty Pimblett hype. But, like, Ilia Topuria would murder him in cold blood in the cage. It's not even close. So I'm actually glad that fight's not happening. It's a silly fight.
Yes. Yeah, Dan is I forgot you're a Patty Pimblett hater, so this is going to be a lot of Patty Pimblett hate on this episode. He's almost as if his name's Macy Pimblett. Not quite, but almost. But
so let me get in on the Patty Pimblett hate, first of all, because I've interviewed Patty Pimblett before, back when he was in Cage Warriors. Perfectly nice to me. He's always been really nice to me. He gave a great interview, one in which he was very humble and very nice. He is not that same Patty Pimblett anymore. He seems to have let the hype go to his head. He talks a lot of crap. He said some really terrible things about foreign countries. I maybe have some reasons to hate Macy Barber. I feel like there are more reasons to hate Patty Pimblett. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, this is the whole Conor thing. We're going to have, just like how the NBA, we had a whole wave of everyone trying to be like Kobe Bryant. Now everyone's going to try. Now we have the whole wave of young fighters coming in trying to be like Conor McGregor. So I blame him.
I'm okay with blaming Conor. We can blame Conor for everything.
You can handle it. You can handle it. All right, let's jump into this card. I'm going to tell you about a couple awesome things first from our lovely sponsors, and then we're going to jump right into this card with both feet. First, WynnBET. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and coming soon, Louisiana. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive, that's that word, exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Plus, WynnBET is now offering a bet in the underdog special. Bettors will receive a $25 free bet for every $50 winning wager on dogs greater than +300. That's a free $25 bet on top of your winnings. Patrons who wager at least $500 in the first and second round of the tournament, I guess it would mean that basketball thing that's going to start tomorrow, I guess, right? Officially?
Not counting the play-in rounds? I was going to say it started yesterday if you count the play-in rounds. But, yes, it starts for the final 64 teams tomorrow at time of taping.
There you go. So patrons who wager at least $500 in the first and second round of the tournament will earn one entry into a drawing for a trip to Wynn Las Vegas. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And if you like contests and March Madness, then I got one for you. The Degen Dance and Merch, MERCH Madness. SGPN, that's us, is giving away $3,000 out of Dan Vreeland's pocket in the ultimate March Madness handicapping contest. The Degen Dance. Start March Madness with $10,000 credits. Use them to bet on your favorite March Madness bets, and whoever has the most credits when March Madness ends wins. $2,500 for first, $500 for second, exclusively in the SGPN app. So download that app. Nail that app, people. Looking for a sweet SGPN hoodie? I have a couple, and they are sweet. Every day March Madness games are being played. Every day that March Madness games are being played, we'll be giving away a hoodie. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/merch, MERCH, Madness, to enter. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/MERCHMADNESS. Boom. All right. Enough of that basketball stuff. Let's talk about some UFC, and it's on the road. I think I was thinking this was UFC Vegas 51 because we're so accustomed to that. But no, this is UFC, what are we going to call this one? UFC London, maybe?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're going, that's the hashtag on it, is UFC London.
Okay.
Next week, you're not even getting Vegas again. You're going back to another
UFC
weird locale.
Columbus, maybe? Oh, I got to know the hashtag, guys.
I think it's UFC Columbus.
Probably. I'll have to. Oh, it's going to change how I write my articles, Dan. Oh, I got to write the article tonight. This is throwing me a big wrench in the plans for me. I got to figure out what I'm going to call an article now, Dan. I guess UFC London is going to have to be. Okay, I figured it out. We're good. You can also call it UFC Fight Night, Volkov versus Aspinall. And yes, indeed, it is from London, UK. Not London, Ontario, by where I live, but no, London, United Kingdom. The O2 Arena. This Saturday, if you're on the East Coast, it starts at 1 p.m. on ESPN+. That's the prelims main card, 4 p.m. ESPN Plus. And we've got a 6-card main card and a 7-card prelims, I believe. 7-card prelims. They did some weird shuffling around of fights. There's some fights that are on the prelims that should be on the main card, if you ask me. But anyhow, we'll dive into that in a second. First of all, a debut that Dan is excited about, I believe, and our superfan Jong in the SGPN Slack channel is excited about. It will be flyweight debut of Mohamed Mokaev versus Cody Durden. Mokaev is who, Dan? What's his nickname?
I actually don't know his nickname. I'm not familiar with
that. The Punisher. He's the Punisher. Yes. All right. I'm going to tell you about Durden first. 12-3-1, 5 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's lost twice via submission. He's 1-1-1 in the UFC. He won his last fight. He used to fight at bantamweight. He was a regional champ. He's at +280. The Punisher, Mokaev, who I believe we spoke of on this podcast before. Dan, I'll probably give you some more insight into him after I give you all the stats on him. That's your hint, Dan, to be prepared with the goods. He's 6-0 with 1 no contest. 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. He won his last fight via submission. This will be his debut, long-awaited debut. He's had a few postponed, has he not? I remember hearing his name before.
Mokaev?
Or has he not? Maybe I might be thinking someone else. No.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Jake Hadley.
Maybe. He's got 2 inches of reach on Durden. He's 9 years younger. Let's take a peek at the stats, Dan. For the age, 5 years or more age gap, 56% winning percentage for the younger fighter. So it's starting to creep up there. -375. So we'll let Dan pick first, and maybe he can give us some background on Mokaev and why everyone is so excited about him.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people are really into Mokaev. Is that, like, first and foremost, he's an incredible athlete. And while a lot of people might look at him and be like, he's 5-0, we're supposed to be excited about 5-0. If you include his amateur career, he's 25-1 draw, I want to say.
He has a pro draw, yeah.
Yeah, he drew in his pro debut. That's right. So he won. No, he didn't. He didn't draw in a pro fight, did he?
Or no contest, maybe. Excuse me, no contest.
He's got a no contest in there.
He's 5-0 with 1 no contest or 6-0. Yeah, one.
Yeah, and I think he drew when he was an amateur too, but I could be wrong about that. But the bottom line is this dude has loads of experience. So while you might look at him and be like, you know, this is a guy who's not really playing much, why should I be interested in him at all? Like, there's a lot of reasons to be interested in him. He's an absolute beast. He's very, very good. And his wrestling is incredible. One of the things you'll notice about him is that he's got like the style of wrestling that you come to expect from somebody whose name is Mokaev Mokaev, which is, you know, not to be discriminatory, but like that's the type of wrestling you're expecting. But he's also a British native, so he's got like a lot of great kickboxing pieces that come from some of the gyms you might see around Great Britain, because that's where he has his citizenship now. He actually qualified for wrestling in the Commonwealth Games, which is their version of like a mini Olympics that they do with. Is Canada in the Commonwealth Games? Do you guys?
We are.
Yeah,
we
are. It's like you guys in Australia in yep. England.
Yep, and probably a bunch of other smaller countries, but yes, they're the big ones.
Yeah, so anyway, like you guys all have that little pretend tournament thing you do. And
it's a real tournament, Dan.
It's the Olympics for nothing. but anyway, like you guys have that thing that you guys do. So he qualified for it, so obviously he's one of the best wrestlers in all of Great Britain for his weight. And there's so much to like about him. And with all that being said, that's a reason to really love him in this fight, because whether or not you like Cody Durden or not, it's really easy to handicap Cody Durden, right? Cody Durden is good at wrestling, and that's pretty much it, right? Like, and I don't mean to be mean about Cody Durden, but he is not much of a boxer, and knowing that his wrestling is going to be that much worse than Mokaev's really gives him no path to victory here, which is why you see the odds of where they're at.
Mokaev is, what, 21? Does that sound right to you about that?
Yeah, he's 21. He won't be 22 until July.
And actually, he's at 26,000 Twitter followers, so that's something. But the main thing on his Twitter, he's got his resume pretty much written on his Twitter. Just to summarize, what a beast he is. 6 times British wrestling champ, European BJJ champ, 30-0, he says, in MMA, so I guess adding his amateur record. 2 times IMMA Federation champion. That's the amateur, right?
Amateur world championships, which is a lot more legit than I think a lot of people realize, too.
Yeah, and 2 times world and European champion. So there you go. He is our pick, right, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, obviously. Like, he's going to absolutely steamroll Cody Durden. And in addition to that, too, I know we don't usually talk about daily fantasy here, but I would make sure Mohamed Mokaev is in my daily fantasy lineup.
You have to wait and see if he's in my column. It'll run on the Sports Gambling Podcast Friday, early Friday. So
I always check it.
Do you? Dan's yeah, already.
Yeah, Jillian Robertson. Yeah, Jillian Robertson.
I did. Hey, sometimes you got to make sacrifices. No, actually, I thought she was going to win. And so did you. So there you go. All right. So we're on the same page with Mokaev. That's moving on to bantamweights. Nathaniel Wood versus Vince Morales. Another hyped up guy, Nathaniel Wood. The prospect versus Vendetta, Vince Morales, who is taking this fight on short notice. We'll dip into the stats like I always like to do. Late replacements, 38% winning percentage. This year, 33%. So it's even worse. So it's something to keep in mind. Sometimes late replacements come through. Usually they don't, though. All right. We'll go with Vendetta versus Vince Morales. 11-5, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. He's 3-3 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight, however. Last one via knockout. He was 0-1 in the Contender Series, 2-0 in Bellator. He used to fight up at featherweight. He was a regional champ. He's got 1 inch of height and 1 inch of reach over Wood, plus 230. The prospect, Nathaniel Wood, 17-5, 9 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. He's 4-2 in the UFC. He's got a loss, win, loss, with his last fight being a loss. That was back in October of 2020. Back to the stats again, since we haven't checked the stats for a little while. Year off, fighters who have had at least a year off in the cage, 49% winning percentage. So it's not that bad, really. This year, they're at 56%. So take that for what it's worth. What else can I tell you about him? He was a Cage Warrior champion. That's going to be a theme on this card. This is the Cage Warrior alumni card. He was 1-0 in Bellator. 2012 debut. So can you really be a prospect if you've been a pro for 10 years, Dan?
I always hate those nicknames.
Exactly.
That, like, prodigy, prospect, just get those out of here.
Yep. Or the teen dream. He's just the dream now. Is Chase Cooper just the dream?
Yeah, he's just the dream.
What else? Wood is 3 years younger than Morales, despite being around for a decade. He's more active striker, better grappling stats, minus 300, and he is also my pick. I got to go with the prospect here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nathaniel Wood, too. And for anybody looking for a reason to be like, is he really as good as we think he is? I would say this, just like the only problems he's ever had in the UFC, and against some pretty damn good competition, you know, he's beat Johnny Eduardo and Andre Ewell and John Castaneda. Like, the only problems he's had is when he can't back up his really good striking with a couple of takedowns. John Dodson and Casey Kenney, both guys who wrestle pretty well, both guys who, you know, stymied what he wanted to do, which is mix in the wrestling enough to get his striking going. And, you know, he's got a great submission game. He's got tons of rear naked chokes on his record. That Dar's choke, Johnny Eduardo was very slick, very good. So I think that Nathaniel Wood has got all of the makings of a guy to give Vince Morales a lot of trouble, because Vince Morales is not great at stuffing the takedown. He gave up 3 to Draco Rodriguez, who I'm pretty sure is no longer in the UFC. So, yeah, I'm all over Nathaniel Wood on this one. I think he's a pretty easy pick.
They're on fire at Draco Rodriguez. Draco Rodriguez is catching shrapnel, Dan. He has nothing to do with this card. How? That's your style, though.
And that's usually saved just for Jordan Williams.
It's true. Who is no longer with the UFC as well. All right. Let's move on to a female fight. Another young prospect, someone you could call the prospect, or is there any... I guess she's not a teen dream anymore. Maybe she's just a dream as well. That would be Corey McKenna, who's back in a women's strawweight fight against Elise Reed. Do we have nicknames? McKenna already has a couple of nicknames. The Hobbit and Poppins. So a couple of classic nicknames. I may have to steal Poppins. Wouldn't that be good? Jeff Poppins Fox?
Chim Chimmerie? It would be funnier if we could go just complete irony type nickname and call you the Hobbit.
It's true. That would be funny as well.
Jeff the Hobbit Fox.
Let's tell you about Reed. Elise Reed needs a nickname. McKenna should lend her a nickname. Reed is 4-1 with 2 knockouts as a pro. She's been knocked out once in her career. 0-1 in the UFC, which was the knockout. She got TKO'd. She was 1-0 in Bellator. She was the CFFC champion. She's got 5 inches reach on McKenna. That's something of note. Have I mentioned reach yet? No. Reach stats. Let's take a peek. 4 inches or more reach, 50-50. Kind of surprising. I've only started doing this year. Reach is really not as big a deal as we probably make it out to be.
As you probably make it out to be?
That I make it out to be? Because it's only, like I said, only 50-50 overall since I started doing this a couple years ago. Just a fighter with a reach advantage is only winning 53% of the time. So it's a little advantage, but not as much as you'd expect. But I will keep crunching the numbers until they come out in my favor. So she's at plus 195. McKenna, 6-1, 2 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in the UFC. However, she's been out since November of 2020. Do you know the story there? Is this a pandemic story with her?
Is this European? I'm not actually quite sure of why she's been out that long. Yeah.
1-0 in the contender series. She's won 4 straight fights. She's 7 years younger than Reed. Striking stats in her favor. And she's 13 times more active striking, but this is based off of 1 fight for each lady, or actually 2 fights for each lady, actually. Yeah. 2 fights for McKenna, 1 fight for Reed, excuse me. But still, far more active. Grappling stats in her favor, minus 250. Are we going to be on the same page and take another young prospect here, Dan?
Yeah, I'm going to take Corey McKenna. I will say this. I wasn't as impressed with her win over Kay Hansen as a lot of people were, and that's actually a win that hasn't even aged all that well, because Kay Hansen is kind of – looked a little lackluster lately. Granted, some of that was going up a weight class and whatnot, but Corey McKenna, I didn't even know if she won that fight. But the bottom line is here, she's fighting somebody in Elise Reed whose glaring weakness in her game is her wrestling and her takedowns and stuff like that, and that's what Corey McKenna likes to do. So even if you weren't super impressed with her debut, kind of like I wasn't, I still think she's the smart play here.
Yes, McKenna is the pick. I just realized we got 3. This is a very big prospect heavy card, is it not? We got 3 young guns here, right?
Well,
I guess
we're getting
super young at this point.
We got more coming too.
Yeah, exactly.
There are plenty more young guns coming up.
This is a very good card. As an aside, if you ever want something to blow up on Reddit, just post something about Greg Hardy being cut, and like I'm just getting I posted that on Reddit, and I'm just getting nonstop comments and people voting it up. So yeah. Not a very popular man, that Greg Hardy. All right, before we move on, I'm going to tell you about something that is, maybe Greg Hardy would be a little more popular if he used this product, Dan, Manscaped. Do you think?
Do you think that's why everyone hates him? I think that would not help him.
No, that's not what the issue is? Okay. Well, anyhow, I'm
going to go out on a limb and say no.
if it is your issue out there, listeners, then I got a deal for you here. Spring has sprung, and our friends at Manscaped have the best tools for some spring cleaning in your pants. Trust me, your confidence will be blooming like the flowers this upcoming spring. Time to clear out that winter bush and join the other 4 million men who trust Manscaped. Use promo code SGP to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Manscaped are the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming and have forever changed the grooming game with their amazing Performance Package 4.0. Inside this ball care bundle, you'll find their lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver, ball deodorant, crop reviver, toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is a pube assassin. Did I say pube assassin last episode, Dan? That's an amazing combo of words there. It's waterproof and equipped with an LED light, so you bet it's a major key to the new shower routine. This elite trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin. Low your balls might look like punching bags. Don't treat them like one and benefit from their proprietary skin-safe technology. Have you ever met someone who finds nose hairs attractive? Dan, do you have a report on that? You were going to ask your wife.
I did ask my wife, and she says while she is attracted to me that it was not due to the nose hair.
Did she tell you what it was due to? Because a lot of us are curious.
Yeah, no, why. I'm still curious too, and I didn't want to dig too deep because I might find out the answer.
That's true. Okay, so it's not Dan's lovely wife. But anyhow, if you do have nose hair issues, the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps to reduce nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate nose and ear holes. We don't want you to hurt your ear holes because that's how you get our goodness into your ear holes of this podcast. Their Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. It's starting to get hot outside. It actually is fairly nice out today, so I will not argue with this. And this is crucial so your balls stop sticking to your leg. I didn't have that problem yet. You'll also find the Crop Reviver spray-on toner for your balls. So many balls, Dan. So many balls in this read. Which will keep you smelling fresh down there, just like spring flowers. Complete your grooming game this spring with the new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. This stuff is legit and will have you smelling like royalty. If you purchase now, you'll receive two free gifts, the Performance Boxer Briefs and Shed Travel Bag. Smell good and feel good this spring. Here is your call to action, y'all. Get 20% off and free shipping with code SGP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. It's time to throw out your old hygiene habits and upgrade your life. All right, let's upgrade everyone's bankroll a bit more here with a bantamweight fight. Another, actually, couple of – these guys are still prospects, I would say, right? Jack Shore and Timur Valiyev. Do we still consider them prospects at their – I guess Valiyev's 32. He's not a prospect.
But yeah, he spent a lot of time in, like, major organizations over in Russia too. So, yeah. Shore was in Cage Titans, but, like, he's still only 27. I'd say he's still pretty prospect-y. And he hasn't had to fight really tough guys yet either.
Would you say this card is very prospect-y as well?
I would, in fact, yes.
A very prospect-y card. Prospect-y may be in the title. I'm going to type it just in case because we haven't stumbled across our alt title yet.
But Pube Assassin wasn't good.
Which one? Oh, yeah. Pube Assassin. It's a good one, but I don't know if – I don't know how many clicks that'll get. We'll see. I wrote it down regardless. All right, let's tell you about Tank Shore, Jack Shore. He's 15-0, 3-0, 4-0 in the UFC, a former Cage Warrior champion, there that is again. He also used to fight at bantamweight. I think that's where he was Is this fight at bantamweight? Yes, it is. He used to fight at featherweight, I guess is what I meant. He was the bantamweight champion, Cage Warriors, right?
Yeah.
I think. Okay. He's 2 inches taller than Valiyev, 4 inches of reach, 5 years younger, striking and grappling stats in his favor, plus 105. And I was surprised that he's fought 4 times in the UFC. The time flies. Valiyev, the lucky. Not lucky. His nickname is the lucky. Very interesting. 18-2 with 1 no contest, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. He's 2-0 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's got 9 straight fights, undefeated. He's went 8-1 in World Series of Fighting in PFL. Used to fight at featherweight as well. Made his debut in 2010. All right, these are all the disciplines that he is a champion in: pancration, grappling, kudo, hand-to-hand. There's some kind of hand-to-hand combat thing also. Is he Russian? He's from that part.
He's Russian. I believe he's Russian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's. I know. I got to be careful calling people Russian nowadays. But yes. Anyhow, he's a champion in all those different disciplines. He's also the more active striker in MMA. Or in the UFC in the Shore. Minus 130. Here's my first dog, Dan. I'm taking Shore. Plus 105.
Look at us following each other nonstop for 2 whole cards. Because I'm also going to take Jack Shore here. I think Jack Shore is being slept on here. I couldn't believe he was an underdog. Yep. Don't get me wrong. There's lots of things to like about Valiyev, right? There's tons of things that I like about Valiyev. But my big problem is that I think he gets worse as the fight goes on. I think he gets tired. We saw it in that Trevin Jones fight. And granted, he thought he had Trevin Jones backed out. So that, you can't use that too much. But Jack Shore is one of those dudes who, figures stuff out more and more as he fights. He's got a great ground game, so I don't expect Valiyev to be able to take him there. I think ultimately he's going to be the rangier fighter in this one, which I think is going to play him quite well here. And you always got the home crowd advantage too. I tend to think that plays really well for certain fighters, and Jack Shore is one of them. So yeah, I like Jack Shore as an underdog play here. I couldn't believe he was an underdog, to be completely honest with you.
Same with me. Pleasantly surprised by that. The O2 Arena, you would guess would be rocking with the UFC finally back, and the card full. It's just full of European fighters. So. Like our next fight, for instance, light heavyweight, Nikita Krylov, who I mistakenly said Russian. He lives in Russian, or he's listed as living in Russian, but he is Ukrainian. He's fighting the Bear Jew, Paul Craig, who is Scottish. Krylov has a nickname, Dan. I don't think I've seen his nickname until now.
Al Capone?
No.
Or is it the Miner?
The Miner, yes.
Yeah, I knew both of those. He used to be Al Capone. He used to be Nikita Al Capone Krylov.
He's Al Capone, wow. I didn't know he was Al Capone. He's very, very old. Something to keep in mind going into this fight. Let's tell you about Bear Jew first, Paul Craig. 15-4-1, 3 knockouts, 12 submissions. So he's finished all of his fights. And hey, looky here. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. So all of his losses have also come via finish. He went to a draw once. I guess that was the only fight that went to the distance in his 20 pro fights. So maybe a prop bet here, y'all. 7-4-1 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight. He's gone 4-0-1 over his last 5. All of them finishes. All the last 4 of his wins are finishes. He was the Bama champ. He was a regional champ. Grappling stats in his favor, plus 150. Krylov, the Miner, 27-8, 11 knockouts, 15 submissions. So also a finisher. He's been knocked out once, submitted 5 times. So he gets finished a lot too. He's 8-6 in the UFC over 2 stints. His last stint has not gone quite as well. He's gone loss, win, loss, win, loss. His last fight being a loss over a year ago, February 2021. He was Fight Night's global champion previously. He used to fight at heavyweight. He made his debut in 2012. He's got an inch of reach on Craig, 5 years younger than him, almost 2 times more active striker, minus 190. It's you this time.
I'm actually going to go dog again. I'm going to take Paul Craig in this fight. I think the difference maker here for me is the fact that I've seen Nikita Krylov make a lot of mistakes on the ground. He can be really skilled on the ground, right? Like, he makes a lot of smart decisions too. But we've also seen him submitted by Misha Serkinov with a guillotine choke by putting his head in the wrong spot. Submitted by Ovince St. Preux by keeping his arms in the wrong spot. Submitted by Jan Blankovic, who doesn't usually get that many submissions. But, like, we've seen him make dumb decisions multiple times on the ground. And Paul Craig is somebody who just can't make even one dumb decision against on the ground because he immediately makes you pay for it. So I'm a little bit worried about that. Also, I think Paul Craig has been getting better with his boxing and getting better at using his boxing to get to the mat. Whereas, like, I don't know that Krylov is going to knock him out. Like, you know, Paul Craig has looked pretty good in there against some guys who are definitely better boxers than him, right? Like, you wouldn't say, you know, Jamal Hill is a worse boxer than Paul Craig, but hey, there it is. Paul Craig submitted him. And even Shogun, you know, you would think is a better striker than Paul Craig. But, I mean, he went out there and just absolutely dominated Shogun. He dominated Kennedy Zuchuku. He tapped out Magomed Ankalaev, who we're, you know, talking about being awesome. So, yeah, I think Paul Craig is just going to catch one of those mistakes and get us up here.
Yep, I agree. I'm taking Craig as well.
Look at this.
I know, wild. Plus, Krylov seems like he's seen better days. Like, almost half of his pro losses have come over his last, like, handful of fights. So, but if we're going, I know we're not at the prop part yet, but if we're going Craig, is it, like, we're already getting a good number, but do we have to juice it more? Like, Craig via submission is probably the route that he's going to win this fight, since neither guy goes to decision, really.
I would say that, but the only thing is, I would say is that fight, I remember vividly having taken a Paul Craig by submission prop once upon a time, and it was that Shogun fight, which he actually won by TKO by just taking Shogun's back and just, like, hit her back. And, like, yeah, I would hate to see that happen. So, like, if you're going to take him and you want to prop to juice the line a little bit more, maybe just inside the distance is a smarter play. Yeah, like, don't take a sub prop or don't take a TKO prop. Just take inside the distance.
But that's why they call it gambling. So, all right, before I move on, stable duel. There are never enough things to gamble on, and the one sport that runs 365 days a year is horse racing. Best part is now there's a new way to play the ponies. especially if you're brand new to the sport. Check out StableDuel, a daily fantasy-style app where you can play free and pay games for real cash prizes. Pick your horses, build your stable, and play against others to move up the leaderboard. Win as much as $25,000 with one entry. Don't know anything about horses? Not to worry. The app gives you clear data on which horses to select to build your best strategy. The app is free to download at StableDuel.com. Multiple games are offered each day with free games weekly at tracks all over the United States. Get in the app, create your account, and start building your stables today. Invite your friends to play against you or play against our stables. You can even follow them in the app, and we can compare our own stats. Download now at StableDuel.com and see how many winners you can pick in your stable. See you in the winner's circle. Play, race, win at StableDuel. All right, let's get some more winners. Heavyweights, Shamil Abdulrakhimov versus Sergey Pavlovich. We've talked about Abdulrakhimov's nickname's Abrek, A-B-R-E-K. I don't think we ever got to the bottom of what that is or why that's his nickname, though, have we?
I have not, correct.
All right, well, have him on your show, Dan. Have him on your show. He's 20-6, Abrek, that would be Abdulrakhimov. 9 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once. 5-4 in the UFC, lost his last 2 fights via TKO. He was a regional champ. He also was a Sanshu champion. He made his MMA debut in 2008, grappling stats in his favor, plus 240. Pavlovich making his long-awaited return. He's been out since October 2019. He's 14-1, 11 knockouts. He's been knocked out himself once. He's 2-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights via TKO. He was the Fight Night's global champion. He's set 8 inches of reach, and he's 11 years younger than Abdulrakhimov. He's almost he's about 2.5 times more active. A striker, minus 325. I will be taking Pavlovich despite him being on the shelf for such a long time. I'm not crazy about any heavyweight line as high as 325, but he's my pick.
Yeah, and I think he's just like a rangier striker. And I think that's given Abdulrakhimov like issues in the past, right? Like, Abdulrakhimov needs you to be in close. He needs to grapple with you a little bit. Like, he tried to do that with Derek Lewis before eventually doing what everybody does, not named Tai Tuivasa against Derek Lewis, which is just eat a bunch of fists. Pavlovich is a pretty sharp boxer. Like, a lot of people wrote him off after that Alistair Overeem, sorry, some other old guy, loss. But he looked really good against the next 2 fights. He clearly can box. So I kind of expected to just see him box here and win this fight pretty easily.
Yes, he is the pick. We're on the same page once again. Plus, my son told me I looked like Abdulrakhimov at one point, so screw that guy. The kid and Abdulrakhimov, screw them both. All right, main event, other prelims, featherweights, Mike Grundy versus Makwan Amirakani. So we got Mr. Finland up against Mike Grundy. Amirakani is 16-7, 1 knockout, 11 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. He's 6-5 in the UFC. Oh, he was such a bright prospect at one point, but now he's gone 3 straight losses and only 1 win in his last 5. He lost via knockout his last fight. He used to fight at bantamweight. This one is at featherweight. He made his debut in 2010. He's a wrestling champion, an amateur boxer. He's 3 inches of height on Grundy. He's a year younger. Grappling stats in his favor, plus 142. Grundy, 12-3, 1 knockout, 8 submissions. He's been subbed once. That's the only time he's been stopped in his career. He's been on a bit of a skid, too. He's only won 1 of his last 3, and he's lost his last 2. He was a regional champion before UFC. He used to fight at lightweight. He also is a wrestling champion, but far higher level than more like Olympic-level wrestler than Amir Khan he was. Striking and active striking stats in his favor, minus 180. It's your turn.
I'm going to go with my third dog of this card. I'm going to take Makwan Amirakani in this fight. I am a little bit surprised in thinking about it because I am a big Mike Grundy fan. I've been a big Mike Grundy fan for a while, but what I've seen out of Mike Grundy is I'm not sure that he's a better boxer than Makwan Amirakani. And while he is a really good wrestler, like, he's never really done well grappling against guys who grapple. You know, like, he didn't do well with Movistar Evloev. He didn't do good with Lando Venata. You know, like, he's beaten guys who don't grapple, but, like, anytime somebody can kind of at least go toe-to-toe with him, he suffers. And I kind of think Makwan Amirakani can do that. Like, despite Makwan Amirakani's losses, like, he's still a pretty damn good grappler, and he's probably a better striker. And when you look at the the losses he has. He lost to Edson Barboza. I kind of thought he was pretty close in that fight. The Camuela Kirk fight, you know, that's not a good win or a good loss, but, you know, it is what it is. And he was really beating the hell out of Lerone Murphy before he ate that knee. So, you know, maybe not the worst set of losses there. And he's still beating guys like Chris Vishgold and Danny Henry, and he's submitting them. I worry about whether or not Mike Grundy gets so frustrated with the striking that he shoots some, like, desperation takedowns and it doesn't go well for him. So, yeah, I'm going to go dog here again. I'm going to go with Makwan Amerikani.
All right, we're going to differ finally. No faith in Amerikani. I'm hoping Grundy uses his strong wrestling to win this, but he is my pick. Mike Grundy is the pick, like I said.
That's our first differ in like, 20 fights.
Nah, we had some last card, but we differed. The card before, we didn't differ.
Oh, it was the one before. You're right, right.
But still, it's been, we've been on the same page, which just normally works out well. So, no, this, I'm going Grundy in this fight. That concludes the prelims. Let's tell you about one more sponsor, and then we'll rip through the main card for you. PropSwap. We're brought to you by PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. March Madness is here, and PropSwap is your place to cash in on the big dance. Every season, prop swappers make thousands of dollars by simply buying and selling college basketball teams. You can always find the best odds on PropSwap because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. Like Zach from California, who purchased a Tennessee championship ticket on PropSwap at 40-1 odds, while the sportsbooks are only offering 25-1 odds. So now is the time to find those Cinderellas while the odds are high and cash out on PropSwap when the tourney starts. Cinderella stories happen every year, so don't miss your shot. Hurry and download the free PropSwap app today. The app has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red-hot tickets for sale, a loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. All right, main card, 4 p.m., Eastern ESPN Plus. We start with lightweights, Jai Herbert versus Ilya Topuria. Herbert used to have a nickname, the Black Country Banger, but I stole that. He's up against El Matador. Herbert, 11-3, 9 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once, so he's been finishing all of his fights, and he's finished all of his wins except one. He was a Cage Warriors champ. He's 6 inches taller than Topuria, 8 inches of reach on him, plus 340. Herbert he's had, the UFC must hate him, eh? The opponents he's been given is
it's a crazy
insane
list.
Yeah, it's really. Hanada Moicano, I'm trying to think what else. Topuria is a very difficult person to fight.
He debuted against Francisco Trinaldo.
Yeah. And then he's had Hanada Moicano, then Kama Worthy, which he got the win over. So he's not been, usually the Cage Warrior champs, that they kind of treat him nicer than this, but no, not the case with Herbert. Let me tell you about this week's foe of his, Topuria, El Matador, 11-0. So there you go, another killer. 3 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's won 3-0 in the UFC. The last two via finish. Used to fight at bantamweight and featherweight. He was having issues missing weight, so now he's up at lightweight. He was a regional champ. He's 9 years younger than Herbert. Striking and active striking, stats in his favor, grappling in his favor, minus 475. I will take him as well. I don't like that number, but I will be taking him.
Oh, I love that number. I think
do you?
Yeah, I mean, like, he's going to just absolutely slaughter Jai Herbert. Like, and I mean no offense to Jai Herbert, but, like, if you can't stand and box and take punches from Francisco Trinaldo, you can't stand and take punches from Ilya Topuria, who is not only longer, he's faster, and he's sharper on the feet. And get this, it's not even the best part of his game. He's better at grappling than he is at striking. There's no path to victory in my mind for Jai Herbert other than landing that miracle knockout blow on the feet, and I just don't think he's going to do that. So, yeah, I'm all over Topuria here. No matter how large the number is, I think it's a fine number.
Don't worry, I will keep the legacy of your nickname, the Black Country Banger, alive, even if you get slaughtered here. All right, moving on, women's flyweights. Molly McCann versus Luana Carolina. McCann is Meatball Molly, of course, and Carolina is Dread. Let's tell you about Luana Dread first. She's 8-2, 2 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been submitted once in her career. She's 3-1 in the UFC, winning 2 straight fights. She's 1-0 in the Contender Series. She has missed weight in the past. She used to fight because she used to fight down weight classes. She fought up at bantamweight and down at featherweight. This one's right in the middle of flyweight. She's got 2 inches of height on McCann, 7 inches of reach, 3 years younger, plus 108. Meatball Molly, 11-4, four knockouts. She's been submitted once, 4-3 in the UFC. However, she's only won one of her last three, which actually was her last fight. Hey, have you heard this before? She was a Cage Warriors champion. Also, a regional champion. She has missed weight as well in the past. More active striker, minus 135. Over to you.
I'm going to take Molly McCann here. I'm like slightly hesitant here because she's given up a lot of reach against Luana Carolina. But here's what I'll say. Luana Carolina, despite being a very long and tall, I don't want to call her a kickboxer. She's got a Thai style about her. She doesn't fight very tall or very long. She likes to get into the clinch. She likes to pressure. She likes all that kind of stuff. And ultimately, I think that, A, plays into Molly McCann's boxing because she does better in, kind of in a dirty boxing setting or in a close-range setting. And, B, I think that always also lends itself well to Molly McCann's takedowns because while, you know, we typically think of Molly McCann as a boxer, she actually – most of her wins have come when she mixes in her wrestling well. You know, the Deanna Belbicha fight sticks out to me as she pretty much only won that fight because she was out-grappling Belbicha. So – Luana Carolina has shown holes in her grappling. She even got taken down by a strawweight last time out. You know, she had trouble with Ariane Lipsky on the ground. I just think Molly McCann here probably out-grapples her and wins a decision.
We are different again. I'm going with the dog here. Like her size, and I've kind
you
of...
You love the reach advantage. You love a good
reach. I do. I love, well, if you're saying McCann's going to box with her, then that's maybe issues. But, I like Carolina's trajectory far better than McCann's. So I will splash on the dog money here for this one. Welterweights. Have you heard of this guy before, Dan? Gunnar Nelson. He's back.
It's been a while.
He's fighting, it has been quite a while. He's fighting Takashi Sato, who's stepping in on short notice. In this fight, do you know what his nickname is, Dan? Did you know he had one?
Gunnar Nelson?
No.
Tekashi Sato?
Sato. Sato, yeah.
I don't know it. Not off Ken. The top of my head.
His nickname's Ken.
Oh,
I think you told me that.
I think you told me that last weekend.
Really? Why is his nickname Ken, though? That's what I want to know, Dan.
No idea.
Come on, you're the nickname guy.
I usually know.
You speak Japanese, don't you?
I do not speak Japanese. Contrary to popular
romance language.
Yeah, contrary to popular belief.
All right, let's tell you about Sato, who's stepping in, like I said, a short notice. He's 16-4, 11 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 3 times, so all of his losses have come via finish. 2-2 in the UFC. He's got a win-loss. He got submitted in his last fight back in November 2020. This is a short notice, like I said, fight for him. He's got an inch of reach on Nelson, 2 years younger. He's almost 2 times more active striking, plus 310. Gunny Nelson, that's his nickname, Gunny. 17-5-1, 4 knockouts, 12 submissions. He's been knocked out once, the only time he's been finished in 23 fights. He's 8-5 in the UFC. He lost 2 straight and only won 1 of his last 4. However, he hasn't fought since September 2019. So it's been a while. He made his debut in 2007. He is a grappling champion. He's an inch taller than Sato. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 425. Both guys are coming off a layoff, which helps. And Sato's stepping in short notice, so I'll go with Nelson here. I think his grappling can get the job done for a guy who 3 out of his 4 losses have come via submission.
Yeah, and I would typically worry about Sato landing the big bomb because he does have absolute dynamite in his hands. But the big problem with him here for me is that, first of all, Gunnar Nelson fights well at range. He's got that karate stance. It keeps him away from really dangerous strikes. And then, like, once it hits the ground, it's over. Gunnar Nelson, a very, very high-level grappler. People forget he has a submission over Jeff Munson in Abu Dhabi's, which is, I mean, like, no small feat to beat a guy that much bigger than you in the absolute division at Abu Dhabi. So, yeah, I'm all over Gunnar Nelson here. I think he wins this one rather easy, and you might want to look into a sub prop.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So, yeah, Nelson is the pick here for both of us. And hopefully, speaking of eating a big bomb, he hasn't hopefully eaten any big bombs over the past, 3 years so far? 2.5 years, so hopefully that helps as well. All right, moving on. Lightweights, Paddy Pimblett versus Kazula Vargas. Kazula is actually his nickname. His real name is what? Rodrigo, I believe. Or Hodhigo, actually. Pimblett is the baddie. Let's tell you about Vargas. 12-4, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been subbed once in his career, the only time he's been finished. 1-2 in the UFC, he won his last fight. used to fight at welterweight. Grappling stats in his favor, plus 350. Patty the Batty, a.k.a. Owen Hart, 17-3, 6 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been finished once in his career via submission. He's won and only UFC, won via knockout. Dan and I were not impressed with his performance, though. He's won 3 straight fights, all finishes. He was a 2-division Cage Warrior champion. He used to fight at featherweight. He made his debut in 2012. He's got 2 inches of height, 2 inches of reach on Vargas, 10 years younger than him, almost 3 times more active striking, minus 500. Is it me or is it you? I forgot already.
I can go first on this one.
You go.
I'm nowhere near this line. Like, I think if you're betting minus 500 on Paddy Pimblett, you're an idiot. But I do think he's the right play. Like, this is a setup fight. They want Paddy Pimblett to look good at home, to continue to buoy him as a star. Like, there were calls for him to fight Jared Gordon. There were calls for him to fight Donald Cerrone. There's a reason he got Kazula Vargas. It's because he can handle Kazula Vargas, and I don't think he would have handled either of those other two. I'm going to say I'll take Pimblett here, but I'm not interested in him. I'm not interested in props on him. I just say probably pass on this fight, but he's probably going to win.
Yeah, so there's no props at all.
Lately he's fancied himself a striker. I don't know that he'd be able to knock out Rodrigo Vargas, but like, he definitely could take him down and sub him. I could also see him just laying an absolute fucking egg and winning a very one-sided decision here and just not being able to get Vargas out of there. So like, yeah, I don't love inside the distance props. I don't love distance props. I don't like picking rounds or method. Like, I just, he's going to win. He's going to win this fight, but like, it probably will look pretty sloppy.
The Paddy Pimblett slander and hate continues.
I'll turn it up if you want.
Yeah. You have more, really?
Let's name the episode. It's going to be sloppy.
There you go. Good title. AKA Paddy Pimblett. I remember we were not impressed at all with his debut, which he almost lost and ended up winning via knockout.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I picked against him in that fight, too. And that was against Luigi Vendramini, who, again...
Mamma mia.
Yeah, like, maybe not the best fighter to
a racist?
Be.
Sorry.
I think he's
Brazilian. Doing Mario.
I think he's Brazilian, to
yeah,
be fair.
Yeah, so it's not racist. I'm good.
It's just Luigi. Yeah, like, I don't even think he's particularly all that great, and he really gave Paddy a run for his money. So,
yep.
Yeah, like I said, if Paddy fought Jared Gordon here like a lot of people thought he was going to, he'd have gotten smoked.
Yep, very true. Harking back to fighters getting cut, the only positive about Jared Gooden being cut, we have one less Jared Gooden. One less in the UFC.
You know the one I'm talking about because Gooden's gone.
Yes, exactly. All right. This is a pretty fire fight card, especially if you're into the European younger European fighters. All right, co-main event. Featherweights, Arnold Allen versus Dan Hooker, who's making the drop down to featherweights. Seems like Dan Hooker just fights nonstop. He's the hangman. The guy who doesn't fight all the time is the almighty Allen. That's kind of probably why there isn't as much steam on him as there should be. Let's tell you, this fight is basically a pick'em almost on the boards. Let's break her down. We'll tell you about Hooker first. 21-11, 10 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times. He's 11-7 in the UFC. He's only won 1 of his last 4, including losing his last fight, which his last fight was via submission. He used to fight at lightweight, or exclusively almost at lightweight. He had multiple regional championships before he joined the UFC. Made his debut in 2009. He also was a kickboxing champion. He's 4 inches taller than Allen. He's got 5 inches of reach. He's 1.7, so about 1.5 times more active a striker. He's at minus 110. The slight favorite would be almighty Allen, 17-1, 5 knockouts, 4 submissions, never been finished in a fight, 8-0 in the UFC. He was a regional champ. He used to fight at lightweight as well. Made his debut in 2012. He's 3-0 as a pro kickboxer, 4 years younger than Hooker. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 115. Almighty Allen is my pick. Like I said, I think doesn't have a whole lot of steam on his name because he hasn't been as active as we would have liked to see him. Like, he made his UFC debut in 2015, so we're coming up in 7 years, and he fought 8 times only over that span. So, you know, you'd like to see 14, you know, 15 fights over that span normally. So, regardless, he is my pick here. I think he can handle Dan Hooker, who will be making a drastic weight cut down to featherweight. Cause he's a long boy. So, and I like the almost pick of numbers here. So, Almighty Allen, thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you on Allen. I know that people make a big deal about the weight cut, but I'm going to make a deal out of the weight cut, not because I think he's going to have trouble getting down, but he's also just not got the same work rate when he was down at featherweight as he did when he was up at lightweight. So it's going to slow him down. In addition to that, he has less of the pop when he's down there, right? Like, his losses were to Maximo Blanco and Jason Knight when he was back at featherweight. And, yeah, okay, so that was a while ago, and we can assume he got better. But largely, he got better by going up in weight where he could put a pace on guys. Like, right, like he put a pace on Paul Felder. I don't think he can keep that pace up down at featherweight. And let me tell you this. I also think, like, Arnold Allen at his best featherweight versus Dan Hooker at his best lightweight, I still like the skills and techniques of Arnold Allen in that fight. When you add in this extra factor of the weight cut, of the fact that he hits harder, he can't keep up the same pace down at featherweight, I think Arnold Allen's kind of an obvious pick. I don't want to like sell this a little bit too much, but I do think he is a pretty obvious pick in this one for me.
Right, and there's a reason that Hooker's going down to featherweight, because his career is not going the way he wants it to go currently. So that's something to keep in mind as well. He's not just going down for the heck of it. He's going down because he's slumping. Why is Allen only fought 7 times in 8 years? What's the story behind that?
I know for a little bit he had some visa troubles. If I'm not mistaken, and I don't want to put the wrong kind of shit on his resume that isn't.
I know what you're going to say in his trip.
Didn't he get in a bar fight or something like that? And he smashed a bottle over somebody's head or something like that. And then he couldn't fight in the U.S. And the U.S. was only – or the UFC was only going to England or Ireland like once a year. So he was only getting a fight once a year, which, I mean, sucks for him. But at the same time, like, that's kind of what he built himself into.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something interesting. Like, he got charged with causing a melee or something. Let me see what it's. He pled guilty to a fray, Dan. A fray.
Exactly. Exactly.
Fighting in public place is what it means. So he got in a brawl in 2016, left a man and 5 women injured. That's not cool. That was, 5 years ago when he was like 22 or 3. So hopefully all the brawling is in the cage for him now. So anyhow, he is our pick. And we both like that number here. All right, main event time. This one is actually – this is a very interesting fight that we'll break down. Not by no means, at least for me, a slam dunk pick. Give you guys lots of faith in my pick heading into it. Heavyweights, Alexander Volkov versus Tom Aspinall. Volkov did make it to the fight. Sounds like it was a lot of hassle for him, and I see that he just got COVID again a few months ago also, so it's been a tough – little while for him. I'm sure living in Russia right now is not much fun either. All right, he's Drago. Aspinall doesn't have a nickname. Maybe he will pick one up if he keeps picking up wins at the rate he has. Let's tell you about Drago. For 34-9, 22 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. Now, he's very durable. For a heavyweight who's fought, 43 times, only to be knocked out twice. I think I read a stat on Fight Forecaster on Substack that I think Volkov's only been knocked down twice in his whole UFC career, which is very impressive as well. He's 8-3 in the UFC. He's won 3 of his last 4, including his last fight. He previously fought in Bellator, where he went 6-3, and he was the champion. He also was the M1 champion. Made his debut in 2009. He's 2 inches of height, has 2 inches of height on Aspinall, 2 inches of reach. Based on the last weigh-ins, he was 16 pounds heavier. He's at plus 100, so even money for him. Aspinall, 11-2, 9 knockouts, 2 submissions. Everything's a finish. He's been submitted once in his career, the only time he's been stopped. He's won 4 straight in the UFC, 7 straight overall. He was 1-0 as a pro boxer, 5 years younger than Volkov. Striking stats in his favor. He's 1.5 times more active striking. Grappling stats also in his favor, minus 125. The biggest test of Aspinall's career for sure at this point. How you breaking this one down?
I'm going to go with Tom Aspinall in this fight. For a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm a big Tom Aspinall believer. I think he's the real deal. The other thing I will say in this fight that gives me some pause on Volkov is I think the fact that Aspinall has the takedowns in his back pocket here is a big difference maker. Right, like if Volkov is picking him apart from range, which is the type of fight Volkov wants, right? Like Volkov wants to pick and move on the outside and hopefully catch him making a mistake. If he starts in on that kind of fight, Aspinall has the takedowns behind him to really make it miserable for Volkov. And the other thing I will say is, too, is Volkov is used to having a large reach advantage, like a very large reach advantage. Do you know what he doesn't have in this fight? A very large reach advantage, right? Like, he's only got 3 inches of reach and, what was it, 2 inches of height? Like
2 inches of reach, 2 inches of height, both.
Two of both. So, like, this is one of the few times he is going to be fighting a big, tall, lean guy just like him, only, like, he's much stronger and more well-rounded. So, yeah, I like Tom Aspinall in this fight quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm picking Aspinall as well. There are obviously some issues. I could very easily see this be his prospect loss in the UFC. Because, like I said, Volkov, extremely durable. Going to be very hard to put out there. Going to have, like, not a huge size advantage, but he's going to have a size advantage. But I do like Aspinall's all-roundedness, as Dan said, like he can grapple if need be. He should be much quicker on the feet as well. So yeah, but like I said, this is by no means a slam dunk pick by any means, but hence the close line, I guess, which is good. We haven't really had a close, at least in terms on paper, we haven't really had a close main event for quite a while. We've seen they've had a lot of mismatches, like Santos and Goliath wasn't very close on paper. What did we have before that? Cody Masvidal was not at all.
That was terrible.
Makhachev Green, not close at all on paper. Yeah, when's the last time we had an actual close fight on paper? Now I fell in a rabbit hole. Walker Hill, I guess that one was kind of close on paper. So anyhow.
I think Hill was still a pretty big favorite in that one too.
Yeah. Yeah, anyhow, this is good. This is what you want to see at the top of cards, a tightly contested, at least on paper cards. So, yeah, Aspinall is my pick as well. This could be this coming out party for him, right? Win this fight and, what, maybe one more fight and into a title shot possibly, right?
Yeah, this fight should earn him somebody like, you know, Stipe or Surreal Gain or somebody like that for sure.
Derek Lewis.
Yeah, Derek Lewis fight. Derek Lewis. Although Derek Lewis is coming off of being knocked out pretty damn bad, so it might be a while before we see Derek Lewis back.
Yep, that was quite the knockout. So yeah, this should be an interesting fight, and it's going to tell us a lot about Tom Aspinall. Hopefully, for interest in the sport, hopefully he passes the test, because we can never have enough young prospects in the heavyweight division. So all right, so we differed on a few. On the same page for most of them, which is good. That'll make the card interesting come Saturday. All right, let's go. Recommended plays. I'm going to go right off the cuff. Dan's got to get his mojo back from last week. So hopefully you have some good recommended plays and you can get off the schneid and get back into what we all expect from you to hear, Dan.
I think I got a little too cute last weekend with big fancy props and loaded parlay. So I'm going to keep it simple this week. I'm going to start with $30 on Arnold Allen. I just think that line looks really nice. I don't have a lot of faith in Dan Hooker down at that weight class.
And that is -115. I am taking him as well. Since I'm going from the top of the card, how much do I want on Allen? $30 actually sounds good. I know it's boring, but hey, we got to pick winners here. So Allen is my pick as well. Straight up $30.
All right. I'm going to take another 30 and put it on Paul Craig. That's one of my absolute favorite underdogs on this card is Paul Craig. I think he's just going to catch Nikita Krylov sleeping. And I'm going to love it when he does.
All right. $30 Craig +150. I will take, what can I get? Do you have it props in front of you or not?
Oh, of course. Obviously, I do.
All right. Of course he does. He's a degenerate. What's the line on Gunny via submission?
-110.
All right. Let's take $10 on that since it's a prop here. So, okay. $10. Nelson sub -110, you said?
Yep.
All right.
So yeah. I'm gonna use my one prop here, and I'm gonna go with Mohamed Mokaev. I'm gonna go with him inside of the distance. I'm not gonna pick sub or TKO because I think he can get both of them done. But him inside the distance. Well, hang on, I had that number here somewhere, and then I had to ditch it so I could go look at yours. Him inside the distance is also -110, so the same number as seeing our main man Gunnar Nelson win. Okay. I'm gonna take him here.
How much money you want to put on that?
$20.
$20. All right. So Dan's used up 80. All right. I'm moving on. I'm going to take Paul Craig. What can I get Craig inside the distance at, Dan?
You're gonna stretch it out a little bit. Paul Craig inside the distance +260.
Oh wow. $20 on that. That's a good number. $20. Craig inside. +260, you said?
Yep.
Beautiful. All right. Over to you.
My last one is I'm just going to take Tom Aspinall straight up with my last $20.
All right. Aspinall. And what do we have him at? -125. For Aspinall, $20 on that. All right. What do I have left? $40 left. I'm going to put it all on Mokaev just to win outright. Number's not that great, but I'll put a good chunk of cash on it. So $40 Mokaev -375. So 66. Yep, that's all our money. All right, here's what Dan's got. $30 Arnold Allen to win -115. $30 Paul Craig to win +150. $20 Mohamed Mokaev inside the distance -110. $20 Tom Aspinall to win -125. I have $30 Arnold Allen to win -115, $10 Gunny Nelson submission -110, $20 Paul Craig inside the distance +260, and then $40 Mohamed Mokaev to win -375. Boom. You got a parlay? Do you want to do parlays or not?
Sure. I'm going to keep it short this week, but at the same time, give you your lovely 10-1. So I'm going to steal your Paul Craig wins inside the distance play, and I'm going to pair it with Aliyah Topuria winning by knockout. You put those two together, it's already 10-1. And
wow.
I think, yeah, and there's a chance that Topuria goes in there and he submits Jai Herbert. But Jai Herbert likes to bang, and Topuria swings until he feels like it's not working out, and then he goes to the ground. I think it's going to work out for him. So, you know, Paul Craig inside the distance, Topuria by knockout, and you can get that at 10-1.
That is the gens are going to be all over that, Dan. So join the degens over at the SGPN Slack channel, and you can see what other degenny type plays they are going to get in on. What else can we tell you? Follow us on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer. He is Gumby Vreeland. Read our stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Subscribe to moneymma.substack.com, where I do my MMA type writing and I run pick 'em contests and all that good stuff. So, and listen to Dan's podcast, Prelim Primer. Yes, that's it. Primer. Yes. And Top Turtle MMA. Did I get all that right?
You got it all right. I like all letting you sweat though.
Yep. I'm going to take her home. I am the Black Country Banger, Jeff Fox. He is Gumby Vreeland. We'll be back on Sunday to tell you how much money we made, all of you. Until then, what should I tell him to do? Until then, keep your chin up and chin up, hands up. No, chin down, hands up. That's what I should tell him, right?
Sure. Yeah. Chin up,
chin down,
chin
hands up.
Chin up, hands down.
Chin up, hands down. Bye.